We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app and use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. 2 days away from opening day at Wrigley Field, so we're doing the show at 2 o'clock. That's not the reason, but that's what's happening today. Sorry for being a little bit late today. A little scheduling issue.
Both what Dub said, 2 p.m. to Nico. That's why we're starting at 2.
It was all planned together. It was unintentionally planned.
Yeah, but it was with the facts get in the way of a good story.
Yes, Ryan has joined the crowd. Don't tell all the other media people.
That's right. Luke, Ryan, and Cody with you. We will have our season preview show live at 1:20 back at the normal time tomorrow. Don't forget to sign up to be a diehard before the season starts so you can catch all of Ryan's stuff that might be behind the paywall. Some of it will, some of it won't. But then you also get the merch and the discounts and the all the other great things that come along with being a CHGO diehard. Also a great gift for somebody if you want to give out early birthday gift or something. Make sure you give it before the season starts. Our pregame parties at Country Club on Clark. That's 3462 Clark. We will be doing a live show 11 to 12 on opening day. All you have to do is RSVP at allchgo.com. That's it. It's free. And you get drink deals while you're there, food deals while you're there. You get to see the live show going down, hang out with other CHGO diehards, talk Cubs baseball before the opener. Mm-hmm. We're going to also have some merch giveaways. What?
Yeah.
Merch giveaways. Got a lot going on.
Speaking of our pregame party slash show, someone added the CHGO Cubs Twitter account last night saying that they had an extra bleacher ticket for Sunday. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little selfish and was like, I'm just going to DM this guy. So I went and DM this guy and he gave me his free bleacher ticket for Sunday. And I told him about the pregame party and he said he was going to come through. I told him I'd buy him a beer if he comes through. Cause I mean, you give me a free ticket to a Cubs game, I got to at least buy you a beer. So he told me he's going to come through. Shout out to him, season ticket holder, I believe. So one of my favorite things is that about this show that has benefited me is I've become friends with a lot of season ticket holders who are always giving away tickets. So that's it. At least I can do is buy him a beer. So come through, maybe I'll buy you a beer. If you give me a free ticket to another Cubs game, I might buy you a beer.
Big of you.
Big of me. Yeah. Sorry to the other people that didn't get
Mike Dubs. Don't forget Mike Dubs. We got to say Mike Dubs again because of Super Chat. And speaking of Super Chats and Gerard also. I'm sorry, Gerard.
Sorry.
Fernando with a $1.99 Super Chat. This is going to change Stuck's 2:30 nap time. Unfortunately, not only I will be doing the 2:30 to we're going 2 to 3, but then 3:30 to 4:30 we have the CHGO podcast. on a different day this week because of opening day and all the things that'll be going on Thursday. So that's coming up after this. So yeah, no nap for me.
No nap. Thoughts and prayers, Stuck.
He's going to be cranky tonight, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll
be honest.
Lots of
prayers to the wife and kid. They're going to have to deal with cranky you.
That's right. I didn't know this was at 2 either. I thought I was ready to go at 1:20, and then I realized, I think Ryan put in like, we're at 2?
He texted the group chat.
Yeah, it was a good thing I saw it.
Yeah, seriously. I was like all ready to go for 1:20, and then I realized I had all this time, so thanks to everyone who came in the chat earlier. Like the chat's been going since 1:20, honestly. Yeah. So if you hung around, I appreciate you.
For the first time, Barb's question, is this live, was legit. You know, where is this?
It's not.
This is live at 2 o'clock.
And she's not here right now. I hope she comes back.
Hey, the big news after we do the podcast yesterday. We get it late. Well, first there was the trade. We'll get to that in a second. But really the big story of the day yesterday came at night when Brendan was hyperventilating into a paper bag for about 2 hours. And sure enough, Jed Hoyer got a deal done. Michael Collada, eat your words. They got an extension done with one of those guys. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Collada. It happened.
They're paying Nico a lot of money. They're paying him a lot of money. They did it.
I think it's I just look at it and say, well, that seems reasonable on both sides. I guess I could see it from Nico's perspective, not wanting to do it, but at the same time, he gets $37.5 million before he's 30 years old, just in this year's deal. And then the 3 years after it, and it only delays his free agency by 1 year. So he gets some guaranteed money.
Right.
And let's face it, if something goes wrong and he doesn't turn out to be that player, or if he just whatever, anything that doesn't go right, he's got almost $40 million sitting in his back pocket. Mm-hmm. That's a reason to sign that deal.
Yeah. So Jeff Passan, ESPN, reported the numbers yesterday. I think, you know, The Athletic were the first ones to kind of report things were trending that way. But yeah, so that 3 years, 35 was the extension on top of the 3 for 35. Was it 2.52 or something like that million that they settled on this year, him and the Cubs.
Right.
For the next 4 years, it gets paid $37.5 million, something like that. I agree with your point, Luke, but I also look at it from a Cubs perspective. Is I think we all expected a couple more years on that, on an extension, when we were, you know, initially discussing it. But the more I thought about it, you know, it makes sense on Nico's side. Like, when this deal's done, he'll, you know, it will go through what would have been his first year of free agency. So he'll be 29 when the deal is done. You know, the number maybe is a little bit less like subjective than that, but it's like, once you hit 30, like 30 seems worse than 29, right?
Yeah. There's not a big difference. If you're a team, you're looking at that and something in your head says, well, he's not even 30 yet.
Yeah. So I think that makes sense on Nico's side of wanting to be able to sign a new deal before he turns 30. Not to say that he won't re-sign with the Cubs when this extension is over, but just it gives him the opportunity to possibly get another payday before he turns 30. On the Cubs side, I look at it as, like you mentioned, if he doesn't turn out to be the player the Cubs hope he can be, you know, if injuries derail something, well, you know, the Cubs have an out, you know, after 4 seasons, after the 2026 season, they do kind of have an out. So it's not like they're bogged down by another 8-year contract that affects salary cap. I mean, yeah, you hope that Nico turns into the player the Cubs want, or continues being the player the Cubs want him to be. You know, he's only 25. He's turning into a real big leader on this team. He's improved so much. He showed he could play elite level defense at shortstop, and now he's, you know, probably going to be in the running for the Gold Glove at second for the next few years. So the Cubs obviously hope that upward trajectory, continues. But if for whatever reason it doesn't, if, you know, life happens, baseball happens, stuff will happen, and you hope it's not negative. But if it comes down to it at the end of the 2026 season, the Cubs, you know, for lack of a better term, they're off the hook, right? Like, they won't have to, like, that's the end of when they will have to pay Nico, if for whatever reason they don't want to continue paying him after that. So kind of makes sense on both sides, in my opinion. And I guess the best case scenario for both sides is that when 2026, when that season's over, both sides really, really want to sign another extension. But, you know, that's the best case scenario going forward. But this 3-year extension does make more sense the more I think about it.
Yeah. So Ryan said something that really like makes the point even more for me in terms of like, you know, for years, it feels like the last 4 or 5 years, it feels like the Cubs have they've gotten every ounce of value out of every homegrown player they've had. We've talked about it at ends. The chat has not shut up about it since the moment we started CHGO Cubs. And what this is the Cubs are investing in a homegrown player. They are like, after this year, he's going to make decent amount of money for someone. Let's be real. At this point, has only had one really good season. The Cubs believe in him that much that they're like, we're going to buy out these arbitration years and we're going to pay you this. To me, all things considered, when you look at all the past guys who have gone, the Cubs are looking at Nico Hoerner and they're thinking, we like this guy being the leader and the big piece of the quote unquote next great Cubs team. And that's why I like the deal. Yes, I would have liked it to be another year or two, whatever. But to me, this is a sign of the Cubs showing full confidence in one of their own players. And I feel like as a fan base, we should all just appreciate that because it hasn't happened in a while. So that's where I look at it. That's where I look at it. And again, he'll be a free agent at 29. And if he does trend up like we hope and how we, and how we believe, then yeah, in a few years we can discuss and how much he should be paid. Should he be among the top 5 paid second baseman in baseball? Whatever. We can talk about that in 3 years, whatever. I just think now it helps that one, it's not going to be a distraction for a while. And two, the Cubs investing in a guy that they brought up. So that's what excites me the most about it, because we just haven't really seen it. And that excites me.
Colada still mad. He says, Ricketts is playing the media, doesn't spend for 5 years, then spends little. Everything's cool. Can't fool me. I knew it wouldn't satisfy him. But
I'm not asking Colada to be satisfied. No. I do think this is something that he should be excited about, though.
They didn't have to do it. Maybe in the long run, they're saving themselves a little money, but really they're showing a vote of confidence in a guy that they believe is doing everything the way they want him to do it. Right. Yes. And there is nothing to say that 2 years into this, if Nico Hoerner is an all-star second baseman the next 2 years, that they can't just then tear this up and say, we don't want you going to free agency. We want you to be this guy, and Nico stays in a Cubs uniform for a long time, because then they give him the big deal beforehand. They take care of business beforehand. I don't know how likely that is, but I think it's possible. If he reaches the type of playing level that we think he can consistently be at, then it's possible, because they'll look at that and say, listen, we don't want him at 29 in the free agent market. Let's go ahead, and we've built in this good graces period where we're doing right by him and saying, you know what, we've seen enough of you to know that you're our type of guy, and here's $37 million over the next couple of years. So they've taken care of his family for a long time, but they haven't given him that crazy, insane contract that we've seen other players getting, right? But that doesn't mean he still can't get it. That could still come halfway through. Anyways, I like the move. I know Brendan liked the move. Brendan's been calling for it. We'll wait and see. He's got 2 more days maybe to get the Hap deal done, which seems way more unlikely. If you had to guess one of the two, you would have said Nico. And then the other move that happened recently was Christopher Morel, which a lot of people have been wondering what's going to happen with Morel. Well, sure enough, he didn't make the team. He's going to AAA. Even though he wasn't bad. It just seems like when you look at the roster, they ended up deciding we want this guy to have more consistent playing time that he's probably going to get early in the season on this team. And I'm actually okay with it because coming up, doing okay or doing well, and then going back down, it worked for guys like Ian Happ. You know, it worked for Kyle Schwarber. It's worked for other guys. Anthony Rizzo was at the major league level, then went back.
Yeah.
It doesn't always happen that you just come up and stay up.
Right. Before I give my two cents, I'd like to give fellow diehard Gary Ross in the chat, who hasn't shut up about it, give him his kudos. He made a wild guess. He got it right. That a way to hit the bullseye on the dartboard, Gary. I'll give you credit where credit is due.
What was Gary saying?
He said that Morrell was going to be sent down since like the beginning of spring. Like that's what he – I don't remember the exact words, but he said something along the lines of that. And at that time, no one thought Miles Mastroboni was going to be, you know, kind of open our eyes. No one – it was even before, say, Suzuki got hurt. But again, I'll give him kudos. You had a good guess, man. I salute. Thank you for being a diehard. that said, I don't think Morrell's going to be down there for months on end. I saw a lot of discourse related to this topic on Cubs Twitter last night. And it's not surprising that some people were angry about it. A friend of the program that we had on the show recently, Danny Rocket, wasn't happy about it. And it honestly had more to do with just the fact that he's a fan favorite more than just the actual issue that he has, which is, as Ryan has pointed out many times, the strikeouts. He struck out plenty this spring, and obviously the strikeout rate was high in the second half of last year. And so, you know, again, at the beginning of the spring, we were talking about Morrell potentially taking that spot at third. Well, Edwin Rios, he's coming in here and hitting freaking moonshots out of the park. And then Suzuki gets hurt, and now you're thinking about playing Wisdom in right field. And so, like, you're kind of looking at this on top of, you know, that the Cubs just want to – they have to play Madrigal in some aspect. And again, Miles Mastroboni kind of he had a good spring, so he earned a spot. I honestly think that he could be someone that the fans really gravitate to pretty quickly. But we'll see. I'm not getting too hyped about him, but I do find his game intriguing. So, yeah, I mean, it's not really surprising at this point. If you would have told me it was going to happen a month and a half ago, yeah, I would have been shocked. But I was hoping that Morrell would have found some adjustment in terms of, you know, coming in the spring and you know, cutting down the strikeouts, and he just didn't. So he barely played any games at AAA level. Maybe it'll help him out, like Luke said, with Happ and Schwarber and other guys that have made their major league debut, had success, but then struggled and then go back down and then get better once they come back. Maybe he's a certain type, but also he's 23 years old too. So like anyone who could be out on him, I don't understand that either. I've read tweets where people are out on him. Read tweets of people saying that, you know, this is bullshit. it's classic internet. So, it is what it is. I'm fine with it for now. I just don't think he should be down there for for months. I think that the guy is good enough and brings a lot to the table to where once you know you can get him consistent at bats, because that's the main point that Jed Hoyer said yesterday. Once they know they can get him some consistent at bats, he should be on the roster. He's that good.
I mean, I think this is the best thing, you know, and me and Gary were actually tweeting at each other earlier today. It was a fluid situation. It wasn't from the onset of spring training. The plan wasn't automatically to, you know, send Morrell down. If he had a really good spring and, you know, kind of took one of those open positions, like a third base position, if he took it, like he would have been up in the major league roster. So it was always a fluid situation for him. But right now, going down to AAA is probably the best thing for his development. You know, again, getting every day at bats. One thing I would like to see is him getting a lot of his playing time at third base. One, because as we saw in when he was in the major leagues last year, he was moving all around every other game, right? If he's playing mostly third base at AAA, like, number one, that third base spot at the major league level is that competition is not over. That's still a rotation of guys. No one has locked it down. So if Moral goes down, plays third base and does really well there, and you know, fixes some of the other things that he needs to fix, I could see him coming back up as mostly a third baseman for the Cubs. That's not out of the question. Saying that, obviously the strikeout rate has to come down. He struck out a lot over spring training, and he had, I think it was a 32 something percent strikeout rate last year. So that has to come down. And I think just getting consistent at bats at AAA will help with that. But yeah, and the defense, like, he wasn't, it's hard. It's hard to be a 23-year-old playing at, you know, at Wrigley Field in May or like late September. That's different too. Being a 23-year-old coming up and playing five different positions inconsistently in your first time in the big leagues, that's hard. And I get it. So I don't blame him for struggling some defensively. However, he did struggle defensively. Like, that's real. And he has to improve at some of the positions. Could he play right field? He didn't play that very much. I don't think he played it at all. Maybe one game in right field last year. We saw him struggle throwing the ball across a diamond at third base. So if those are two spots that he could potentially fill in, but he has to get better at them. And yeah, that's, I think, getting him consistent time there versus making him just part of the big rotation in those positions at the major league level. I think in the end it makes a lot of sense and could really help him. I don't think he'll be down that long either. He's still in the 40 man. He's a call away. Just have to see some improvement at a few different areas for him before that happens.
I think
Go ahead,
sorry, Luke. Go ahead, Luke.
I was just gonna say we haven't seen the end of Christopher Morel. I think what Cody would probably agree with, and a lot of fans are going to question and look at it and say, wait a minute, I thought we were going to have the best 26 guys on the team, right? It's not about, is Christopher Morel on the roster? It's, well, wait, we didn't go out and sign some all-star third baseman, or we didn't go get this guy. How is he not one of our best 26 guys? That's at the heart of what fans are questioning about the move. And I don't disagree with what Ryan's saying or what the Cubs believe. He needs a little more seasoning. There's still some parts to his game where they can make his overall career potentially much better if he takes a little more time. The reason he was on the team last year is because they didn't have enough good players. They didn't have the veteran guys that they brought in to fill the role, so they needed some guy that literally could do everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The argument against it is some of the guys that will make the roster instead of him. People are looking at, okay, it sounds like Luis Torrens is going to make the roster, okay? He's a third catcher. And, yeah, play some other outfield position. He can play a little second base. He's a hitting catcher first before defensive catcher. But do you really need three catchers? And then the other guy that people will look at, I guarantee you, is Nick Madrigal. Like, just because you haven't gotten a good look at Madrigal yet. He's been hurt too so much. People don't believe he can play third base, but they forget that Rios was added. When Rios was added to this roster, that made Morel way more likely to have time to go back to the minors and get the seasoning he probably should have had. The experience was great last year, but just like when Nico came up the first time, just because he was up and he did okay doesn't mean you can't make his career better by giving him more time still.
Yeah.
I think that's the answer.
Yeah. And it's a good transition to what I was going to say, which is Edwin Rios really, who cares about the batting average? He's the left-handed side of Patrick Wisdom. I mean, and his batting average might go up anyway. Both of them might go up anyway, just because the shift is gone. But we've talked about how this team doesn't have a lot of power, and Edwin Rios has power, and clearly Patrick Wisdom do too. I understand that Christopher Morel has power as well, but he's also 23, and he's also going through, you know, the struggles of a young player who has not adjusted. And do I want his confidence to be ruined? No, I don't. So as much as I would love to see Morel on the roster, and again, me and Ryan both just sat here and said that we don't think he'll be down there that long. I think if he does gather some confidence down in Iowa and bring that back up to the Cubs, then, you know, it's beneficial. I get it. No one wants to watch Madrigal, and Madrigal's not going to get as much playing time at third base as a lot of people are just assuming. And, you know, Rios is just a guy they signed in spring, and so, and no one has fully is fully in on. I get it. I totally get it. I'm just explaining the reasoning behind it. I don't necessarily agree with it either. I would have liked to see Morel on this roster. I wish they would have given him a bigger shot in right field, but Miles Mastroboni, he's looked good in the spring. Like, you can't deny that. And he could play all over the field too. So I think that there's good reasoning to why they are sending him down. But I don't blame fans for being upset about it. He was a fan favorite last year, and he was easy to like. He has personality, all that stuff. But they did the same thing with Javi. Remember Javi came up and he struck out like 40% of the time?
Yes.
In 2014, people mm-hmm. were calling him a bust at the end of the year. Hell, he didn't even start the year in 2015 with the Cubs. I think a lot of it had to do with a family issue that he had. But, you know, his rise to what Javi Baez became was kind of similar to what Christopher Morel is going through right now. So I think while I understand the frustration, just slow the roll on, like, you know, assuming that the Cubs are trying or Cubs are done with this guy. That's not true at all. So
he didn't lose out in a roster spot to McKinstry. Okay. Right. Mastroboni had a nice trip. They piled up utility type infielder guys just in case this was the scenario that they tried to let play out. Develop one of their younger guys. They have some older guys who they think can fill that void and maybe turn into something. They played around with McKinstry for a while. They've moved on. Carlos Guzman, they trade him to the Tigers. You know, he's a guy that really hasn't been higher than pretty much high A, right? He got a little time at double A at the very end of last season for the Tigers as a relief pitcher, but he's a converted shortstop. So maybe the McKinstry deal so far has not worked out the way they had hoped it would. Not all those fringe deals are going to work out the way you want them to, but they have backup plans, and that's why they have Mastroboni. That's why Torrens was added to the roster. That's why Rios was added to the roster. And I still think Morel ends up at the major league level more than half this season. I'll be surprised if he's not back playing at least half of a major league season this year. We'll just see how it plays out. But right now, that's the move they made. And I understand why people are upset, but it's not as clear cut to me as Wes Nessie over Samson turned out to be, right? Yeah. Like when you look at the two springs or the springs and you see, okay, these two pitchers were great this spring, this guy was not, let's go with these two. It seemed pretty clear cut. I didn't know if the Cubs were going to go that way, but that seemed more obvious to me. This one is a little more murky, but I can see that this could be a plan that actually benefits Morel benefits Morel and the Cubs.
Yeah.
I hope that's the way it plays out.
Yeah, related to McKinstry, I'm intrigued to see how Carlos Guzman plays out, because he's a pitcher, and you know how the Cubs pitch lab is. And not all of them have panned out, but they saw something. I mean, for the Cubs to get anything for Zach McKinstry, if you just look at the Baseball Reference tab, I think that's a win no matter what. So we'll see what he turns into. You knew the Cubs were going to have to either make a trade or he was just going to be cut. He didn't have any more options, and it is what it is. I guess I had a little bit more hope for him because you look at the type of player he was and the success he had at the minor league level. And, you know, he just didn't hit enough in the spring to, I guess, do anything. And I mean, he really didn't hit at all. So it is what it is. I am intrigued the fact that with the Tigers, their new front office GM used to be in the Cubs organization. So I do find it interesting the Cubs making a trade with the Tigers, knowing that now. So I know that the trade was very bland, but I wonder if that becomes the new Cubs and Rangers type trade, because the Cubs and the Rangers have made trades over the years, lots of them. So I wonder if the Tigers become one of those. I'm not saying the Tigers are going to trade Javi Baez back to the Cubs. I'm just saying that, like, I find it intriguing that happened. So we'll see.
Well, yeah. Baseball season's almost here, guys. This is it. You might want to stash away your Christopher Morel on your fantasy team somewhere. Maybe draft him late, take a late flyer and stash him away for a call up on your team later in the season. Get your latest fantasy baseball news from RotoWire, a pioneer of fantasy sports for more than 25 years. Cheat sheets, customer player rankings to fit all leagues, rotisserie, points, 10 category, 30 category. Let their experts analyze all the wild baseball stats for you that are out there. WRC plus barrel rate, sleepers, prospects, hard hit rate, mock drafts galore, ask the expert function, premium fantasy draft kits, custom sit, start, add, drop, trade advice, all of it. Plus access to sports betting articles. They've got some good ones on there right now talking about their favorite picks for, you know, if you're looking at one of those prop bets like home runs for the season or win totals, some of the picks that they like. They've got some great access to that. So it's a chance to make money in fantasy sports or bragging rights over your friends. And there's the chance to win cold hard cash like Cody likes to do, betting the wages at the DraftKings Sportsbook. And not just baseball either. Fantasy advice on everything from golf, soccer, NASCAR, XFL, believe it or not. And for a limited time right now, RotoWire, with the season almost here, is offering a free 2-day trial to our listeners. So you could lead it right up to opening day. Just go to rotowire.com/CHGO to register. No commitments. They're so confident you're going to like their product and want to invest in a subscription plan. They don't ask for a credit card up front. You can take a peek behind the paywall. When the trial is done, then you decide if RotoWire has a package that is right for you. I say check it out. Could win you a lot of money by the end of the season.
You could, and then you can invest in Roman, because we all need to, you know, have a better sex life. At least you strive to have a better sex life. You know, 50% of men have symptoms that get in the way of wanting or enjoying sex. Do you want a better sex life? If so, you're not alone. Admittedly, you're not alone. Country club where we're having the party at. I fell in love there a couple times. Didn't have Roman that night. Tough night for me. I'm not going into that story anymore. But Roman is here to help all of you who might need who might have this issue. Roman is the digital health clinic for men, addressing a variety of sexual health needs and offering genuine medication that helps achieve and maintain a strong erection. Roman offers discreet wipes that help you last 4 times longer in bed. In men with low T, getting testosterone levels back to normal can help increase your libido.
Hey,
right, guys. Somebody's been practicing.
Yes, wow. Roman offers a testosterone test, which includes lab processing, and it's appropriate for you treatment for low testosterone. No waiting rooms, no hassle, straightforward digital experience from the comfort of your home. If medication or testing is appropriate, Roman will send it directly right to your door. Everything arrives in discreet packaging with free 2-day shipping. To learn more about how you can achieve your personal sexual health goals, go to ro.co/CHGO to get 20% off your entire first order. That's R-O. I think it's just Roman/CHGO. The way that this ad is
typed out. Ro.co/CHGO. Ro.co/CHGO. When I looked at it and I saw that comment, and I'm like, yeah. Cody is going to.
Yep, I knew it.
Thank you. I appreciate my good colleague here, Ryan Herrera. He saved me here at the end.
You got libido this time.
I did get libido this time. Big of me to get it right. I've been practicing really hard on these ad reads. Also, we were told that we have to get these ad reads done in a minute now, which is very hard. The fact that I didn't laugh the entire time, especially after I said the E word, I mean, big of me. Credit to me for getting to this point.
ro.co/CHGO. Get 20% off your entire first order. There we go. Look at that.
We might have to have Ryan do it next time. Let's give Ryan a shot. Other moves. First of all, we are going to get to some pitching talk here. And we will evaluate the Cubs pitching versus the division as well coming up in the show. But other moves, Rowan Wick clears waivers. So he gets to keep his – and he's outrighted to Iowa. He gets to keep his, $1.5 million salary but they can stash him in Iowa so they don't lose him. That was, I don't know if it was surprising, but then you try to figure out, well, who are the guys? Really, the bullpen is pretty much the only decision that's kind of still got any kind of play to it before opening day. With the fifth starter done and now knowing McKinstry's gone and Morrell's gone, or at least to Iowa.
Yeah.
The most interesting thing is probably the bullpen, Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it feels pretty much set. I think, you know, I think even the Keegan Thompson stuff that's been going on over the last week feels like he's still probably pretty likely to make that opening day roster. I guess we'll see what happens over the next couple of days. But, yeah, I think that's been one of the more fluid kind of competitions all spring. Like, if you asked me a few weeks ago, I probably would have said Rowan Wick may still make the opening day roster. And we know that he was waived yesterday. He was outrighted to Iowa. I don't know off the top of my head if he's able to elect free agency or not. But for now, he's not on the 40-man, not on the opening day roster anymore. It was one of those fluid, ever-changing things. Even the beginning before Fulmer was signed, right? Like, we knew it was coming, but it hadn't happened. And you're kind of wondering, like, all right, like, what happens if they don't sign him, right? So the bullpen's a little changing. Now we know Assad's in there. Adbert Ausley, as expected, is going to be on that opening day roster. Brandon Hughes may start the season on the IL, is another report out of Mesa. So I'm still interested to see what it actually, like, the final eight look like on Thursday. We don't have, I guess, confirmation on those eight yet, but I think what, like, six or seven we can probably confidently say are in, and then another one or two that are probably pretty likely. I don't think it's not like it's any move or any things gonna shock us on Thursday. I think we kind of know who are those last few guys that are contending for it. But yeah, as of now, it's like, that's, as far as roster battle goes, that's probably the last thing that has to get sorted out.
Yeah.
Kalata asking about the closer. He wants to know who the closer is. And I, they may have one guy, maybe it's former early on, but they just don't have a guy that is an automatic choice to be a proven closer. But you know what? There were like 15 holes on the roster going into the offseason. Mm-hmm. So if closer is one that's not fully answered going into the season, it's just the way it is. Like, you can't repair a roster that was as flawed as it was last season, part of it on purpose, and just solve it all in one offseason by just signing everybody. So give it time. I do think that'll sort itself out before the end of the year, though.
Yeah. Never forget, guys, in 2016, the Cubs didn't have a closer as well until after the trade deadline. So,
Cody,
I think Fulmer's probably going to get that first chance. A couple guys that I've been, kind of had my eyebrow raise, Julian Merriweather. I think is how you say his name. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but Michael Rucker, I mean, he looked great yesterday against the White Sox. And he's pitched very well all spring. He's getting a lot of swing and miss and he's got the fastball at the mid to upper 90s, which is awesome. And I'm going to continue to do this. I'm not worried about the bullpen. I'm not, they're going to figure it out. Yeah. They don't have a Edwin Diaz, but a lot of teams don't have an Edwin Diaz. Hell, the Mets don't have an Edwin Diaz now. So
they do have a David Robertson.
Yeah. I think that what we could see with this bullpen could get even better as the season goes along, because they have guys they can promote. A guy like Daniel Palencia, for example, someone who the Cubs, I think, view as a starter long term, but could use as a reliever just to start him out in his major league career. I was watching Marquee last night after the spring training game. Lance, I can't say his last name. Is it
Krasnowski?
Thank you. And Jim Callis are on there. And Lance is high on Palencia. And they were talking about, like, when he can make his major league debut. Mm-hmm. And Lance said something along the lines of, Palencia could make his major league debut this year if the Cubs were to use him as a reliever. Of course, it'd be middle of the year type thing. Again, I'm just listening to those guys talk. Those guys know more about the prospects than I do. I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen. What I am saying, though, is A, I'm not worried. Two, or B, they have – we've talked about the pitch lab enough. We've talked about the depth on the farm enough. And on top of the veteran relievers that they brought in, it's just not something I'm going to be worried about. Now, if we get into May and the Cubs have blown 5 or 6 ninth inning leads and whatever, I'll raise my hand and say that I'm worried. But I'm not worried. I'm just not. I'm not. I trust the pitch lab. I trust what they're doing with it. They're going to figure it out. The bullpen was the strength of the team last year. If that bullpen wasn't as good as it was, the Cubs would have been getting blown out every single game last year, especially in the first half. The bullpen kept them in games that they eventually lost.
We know that bullpen's good. I don't know if you mentioned Estrada, but he's another name.
I forgot about Estrada.
We know has good stuff, potentially closer stuff, remains to be seen. I think about it in terms of last season, right? Like going in, like we knew David Robertson had some closing experience. We knew Michael Givens had some closing experience. I think Chris Martin did as well. So those are three veteran guys that got brought in, had some closer experience. But I think if you would have said going into the season that David Robertson was going to pitch like one of the better closers in baseball for a while, I don't think anyone expected that, but he did. Working with this Cubs pitching infrastructure, finding some kind of fountain of youth like that was huge for David Robertson, but it was good for Michael Givens and Chris Martin as well. Now you bring in guys like Michael Fulmer, Brad Boxberger, Adbert's kind of completing that transition to the bullpen. Assad's going to be like, there are a lot of names there. Yes. No bona fide like closers. I know Brad Boxberger and Fulmer have late inning experience. They're not like certified, like put them at the closer and then fill them the rest of the bullpen the other way. Right. But those are probably guys that are going to get closing chances out of the gate and could, if one of those turns into maybe not exactly David Robertson, but pitches well like David Robertson, like you're happy with that because then that's another low cost veteran reliever you brought in and you feel comfortable pitching him in the late innings, right? Edward Oslai has really good stuff. Does he end up just moving straight up into the closer's role or even like a late inning, multi-inning, like two innings, inning and a third kind of thing? Like that's potentially possible for Adbert Oslai. There are a lot of guys with like good stuff, just not a lot of track record, especially not track record as a closer. So yes, that's why the bullpen is just kind of made up, not like it's a makeshift bullpen, but it's made up of a lot of guys that feel like you understand their roles, but you don't know which one of them is going to stand out and be the closer. Right. Now I know David Ross, the Cubs just aren't really worried about that. Like David Robertson wasn't named he became the de facto closer. He was never named the closer, but he pitched so well in the late innings that Ross felt comfortable deploying him then. They hope that someone stands out that way this year. But like Cody said, like they've done the last 3-ish years, they've done a good job of building a solid bullpen that felt reliable for the most part. I'm probably, and the Cubs aren't worried. I'm not that worried about what the roles are going into the season. I'm sure that they will figure themselves out. But I know that the Cubs believe in who they have in that bullpen. And considering they have done pretty well at building bullpens the last 3 years, I'd give them the benefit of the doubt that, they know what they're doing. Even if they don't have a set closer, they know what they're doing.
The bullpen won't be the thing that pulls this team down and doesn't allow them to make the postseason. If it does, a lot of good things have happened on the rest of the team. Like if it comes down to the bullpen and the bullpen's not good enough, then a lot of things have gone right for this Cubs team. Couple of guys to mention. I saw in the chat people talking about Cody Hoyer. One of the reasons they acquired him, they believe he has closer type stuff. True. But he's coming back from Tommy John. And while he will be coming back midseason or whenever that might be from Tommy John, I don't think closer will be a role that they'll initially insert him into. I don't think he's going to come back from Tommy John and the first thing they'll be is like, hey, Cody, here's high leverage situations. Go get him, kid. I think they will ease him in much more than that. I also think that Adbert Alzolay would have been one of the guys I would have liked to seen get that opportunity. He still may. He talked about it with us at Cubs convention that he likes that possibility. But I think if whatever is going on with Keegan Thompson, maybe it's just slow ramping up. I think at the moment that makes that less likely that Alzolay would be in any closer type situation stuff early in the season, just a guess, unless he's a guy that comes in and literally just does, he's going great for three innings and they let him carry it out. Like if the starter were able to go seven, and which doesn't happen all that often, but if he were on a roll, they might let him go. Okay. But I don't think he's coming in for just one inning and being saved to be a closer for a day. That's just a gut feeling. But the emergence of Assad, if Assad can continue what he was doing on Team Mexico, not necessarily as a closer, although that's possible too, because he was so good for Mexico. But I think the emergence of Assad, if Keegan comes back to what he was, you know, if he can get the uptick in his velocity and it's just been slow going early in the season, if those come together, if you have Assad and Keegan as your long relief guys that can come in and give you these every third day, like three innings type deal, that would free up a chance for Adbert Alzolay later in the season to potentially get one of those shots as a closer. So I'm not ruling it out. I just don't think it's going to happen early in the season. But
yeah, I think early they're going to go with the veteran look,
yes,
whether it's Fulmer or Boxberger or someone like that. But again, I think by the end of the year it's someone else, and hell, it might not be a guy on the roster right now. Maybe it is Cody Hoyer. I just think that we've talked about it in many postgame shows on how last year David Ross would bring in David Robertson in, you know, the sometimes the seventh, eighth inning if the team that they're playing had guys in running, guys in scoring position, and you know, the Cubs were up by a run or two and you needed to get a big out. The way that the closer position is done now, it's like it's not just the ninth inning. It's like when there's a big moment. Yeah, high leverage, big moment, and you need an out, and you go with your best reliever. That's how I envision them working that out, and they'll play the matchups based off who's coming up in the ninth inning. And you just hope that the guys that they use in the ninth inning are, you know, have had ninth inning experience and, you know, can get outs. I mean, again, I know that there were times last year where they would blow ninth inning leads and stuff, but the defense is significantly better. You got a better offense now. A lot of those games that they blew, the defense really hurt them in those games. And so that, or the offense failed to capitalize on insurance runs late in the game too. So it's, I know, you know, it's very easy to just look at who's the closer and blame them for a loss, but I guarantee you that we will sit here. If they blow a game in the ninth inning this year, we'll sit here and we'll look at, well, how good were they with runners in scoring position throughout the game? Or, oh, if this error didn't happen, or this bad throw on a certain play didn't happen, maybe this said team doesn't score a run. So that, again, that's how I look at it. And
yeah,
I see you, Colada. I'm not, don't ever say Del Ricketts ever again, man. I've sat here and criticized that man, not nearly as much as you, but I've sat here and criticized him. All right.
Yes, Hughes, by the way, we saw Hughes, but he's likely to start the season on the injured list.
Yes.
Do I think he's going to close games? He'll close some games for sure.
I agree with everything Cody has been saying as far as like the high leverage innings feel a little more important, especially with a Cubs team that we know is not going to blow people out with their offense. Right? Like that's something Jed talked about at his end of season presser, and didn't really make the moves that, like, you look at this roster on paper, like, yeah, this team is going to blow a lot of people out because they're going to score a bunch of runs, right? So in that sense, the late, you know, later innings, high leverage innings become more important. So seventh inning, like Cody said, guys on base and you got the heart of the opponent's order coming up, that might be the time to deploy your best reliever versus ninth inning, seven, eight, nine guys due up. And maybe it's like three lefties, so Brandon Hughes might come in instead of Michael Fulmer, right? If that's just that's just a scenario. The high leverage innings are going to be very important. David Ross has talked about how, like, yes, if you have a Craig Kimbrel Hall of Fame level closer, you'd like to have it, but not every team does. And I just, you know, listening to David Ross talk, it just doesn't feel like setting a closer and making sure you have a guy that's going to go out there every ninth inning with a 3-run or less lead. Like, he doesn't feel like setting that guy is going to be, is his top priority. And I don't blame him, because I think in this day and age, the closer role has changed. High leverage innings are, they just feel a lot more important than they used to. Like, if you can bring your closer in to shut down a seventh inning rally, I think you do it. And I think that's something David Ross is looking at himself.
Yeah.
We're going to get to the Cubs pitching staff, ranking them against the rest of the division in a second. But first, a couple things to tell you about the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program, committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve manage energy usage and lower energy bills now and into the future. ComEd offering a wide array of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across their territory. Customers can inquire about how to upgrade outdated lighting to energy and money-saving efficient LED lights, learn more about network lighting to operate your lights through your mobile device, and track your facility's energy usage, and more. Incentives have recently increased for indoor-outdoor lighting and network lighting controls, making the projects now more cost-effective than ever before. Visit ComEd.com/poweringbiz right now to start saving money and energy and start a project. Contact them at 1-855-433-2700. For more information, you can email businessee@comed.com or publicsectoree@comed.com.
I gotta before we get to our pitching staff power rankings, right? Which, if you go to Wrigley, you look at those bright lights, you'll see the Cubs pitching staff pitching under those bright lights, potentially powered by ComEd. I'm not sure, but probably. But before we get to the pitching staff rankings, I got to tell you about Goose Island. Goose Island is the official beer of CHGO. It's been Chicago's beer since 1988. On their beer roster, they got the Blackhawks Pale Ale, that Bold City 312, Bourbon County Stout, Christmas IPA, Beer Hug IPA, just a bunch of different ones. I'm still a 312 guy myself. I know Corey's with me. You too. You got any preferred Goose Island beers?
The Beer Hug Tropical one, 9.9%. I keep saying it. Mm. It's the go-to. Though I am a 312 guy as well. I had one last week out at a bar.
You ever meet somebody that didn't like 312? Just as a standard beer. You ever meet somebody that was like, oh, 312, gross. Like, you hear that about other beers, right?
Yeah.
I've never heard that about 312. Everybody likes 312.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm a 312 guy, but I do enjoy the rest of them. We've had them in the office, and, you know, they're around. Take a taste test or something, or drink one in the office. They're all great, man. 312, whatever it is, the Beer Hug, that's the one that Cody likes. You know, Goose Island beers are all good, man. We do have the Thursday is it sponsored by Goose Island? Our Thursday show sponsored by Goose Island?
They're going to have 312. I guarantee there's Goose Island at Country Club for sure.
There we go. You got the Goose Island up there in the corner. Here's our graphic. Yeah, I mean, Goose Island's going to be there. So you go to the pregame party on Thursday with all of us, get a couple Goose Islands, 312, Beer Hug, whatever it is. Goose Island's got two local locations. They're open and ready to welcome you. Grab a beer right from their innovation tanks at the Goose Island Tap Room at 1800 West Fulton, or get a smash burger and a fresh beer of the week at the original Clybourne Brew House at 1800 North Clybourne. For reservations and pickup, go to gooseisland.com/locations. Goose Island Beer Company. We love it. You guys love it too.
Barbara, I think it's two straight days now. She has asked us to start late on Thursday. The thing is like, even if we're not, if you're not here for the live show, it's still going to be here. You can come here and watch it.
Right. And the post-game will be on time after the game. Like, after we can't tell you what time the post-game show, but we'll obviously have pre and post-game. Yeah. Okay, so we're getting to this pitching thing. Before we get to it, I do want to show this video that was out on Twitter from Cork Bats. It's like a comedy. It's a Cubs fan who went and did something funny on the internet. Do we have this lined up? For those of you watching on YouTube live, you'll get it.
Estimated the internet getting
the podcast. Here it is. It's you've got to go back and look at the YouTube feed to see what this guy is talking about.
I underestimated the internet yet again. It's currently at like 18,000 likes or something.
I messed up. So over the weekend, I was scrolling through Twitter while watching some college basketball and came across a photo of LSU's head coach wearing a ridiculous jacket. I just tweeted the following because I thought it was funny. This tweet gets 5,000 likes. I will find this jacket, buy it, and wear it to a Cubs game. Simple enough. And, well, this was the jacket. Like, she raided Ric Flair's closet. When asked who she was wearing, I'm surprised she didn't say Jim Henson. And I truly meant it because we've seen these kind of tweets online all the time and they're kind of played out. I didn't think people would actually follow through with it. Just figured it'd be a funny visual to see me at a Cubs game wearing this jacket. Well, apparently I was wrong because before bed, this thing ended up racking up 1,400 likes. By the time I woke up the next morning, we were at 4,000 likes. And within an hour of waking up on Saturday morning, we had 5,000 likes. And thus the search began for me to find this jacket. But I do have an update. Good news, I found the jacket. Bad news, it was custom made. It is a runway jacket. I found the person that owned it and I reached out to her. She had actually been sent my tweet multiple times before I had ever even reached out. But then she told me the jacket's costs around $4,000, which like a stupid online prank as way out of my budget. But then she told me she wants to make this happen because it would be, quote, amazing. I was like, that, look, that's all I need. That's a win for us. Needless to say, she's gonna send me the jacket and I'm gonna wear it to a damn Cubs game. Thank you to everyone who reached out trying to help me find the person who made the jacket, trying to find the actual jacket, trying to help me find ripoffs for the jacket. Needless to say, I'm getting the jacket and I'll be wearing it to a Cubs game very soon. Now all I need is tickets. So thank you. I love you.
I should give him my free ticket.
Your free ticket for Sunday.
No. You could use it. My idea is we get him the seat next to Corey. And so Corey has the next one. But the other possibility is we reach out to him and we say, listen, can you tell this woman we need three of those? And we'll all wear them to the game at one time. So in the bleachers, it'll just be a sea of people looking like some sort of cartoon out there. I mean, it was pretty funny. The jacket is outrageous. Who decides to wear that?
We would definitely end up on Marquee or whatever network. Yeah. The game that, yeah, I
very much.
I don't know if Ryan could do this because I know he's got people in the press box that respect him. But
yeah, I've been in the press box. I wore a Santa suit at Wrigley Field. Is there anything more ridiculous than that?
I can wear a Ric Flair style
boa
jacket.
Okay, jacket. Boa. Macho Man boa.
Well, once I got to get this guy's handle, I couldn't read it on the screen, but I'll go back and get it. And maybe we reach out to him. I'll reach out to him on Twitter on the CHO Cubs Twitter account and see what we can do.
All right, we only got a couple minutes left to go through our pitch, our final position slash part of a roster versus the division. Right, so we did all the position players. Now we're just going to do pitching. All in one group. Instead of breaking it into starters and relievers, we're just going to say pitching staff in the NL Central. How do you rank the Cubs against the rest of the pitching staff? I'll say this first. You can't say they're number one because they don't have Corbin Burns. Like he's the best pitcher in the division. There are aces in the division that are better than the Cubs' top guy, but Cubs do have the depth. So I thought this was fair. Brewers, Cubs, Cardinals, Pirates, Reds. Do you think that's outrageous? Here's why I have the Cubs ahead of the Cardinals. Michaelis is good. We know Wainwright's good. The Cardinals have some guys. Flaherty hasn't looked good in the spring. I saw Cardinals fans all mad about him this spring. He's never healthy. Burns and Woodruff and Peralta, that's a pretty good three for the Brewers. When you look at the Cubs and you say, listen, I don't know where Tyone's going to slot, but he went like 23 innings this spring, or he went 23 strikeouts this spring with no walks. I like what I see from Tyone. Mm-hmm. And I also love that Wes Nasty is your number five starter because that has the potential to move all that. That could be what lifts this rotation. If Steele and Wes Nasty can combine to be some sort of futuristic Brizzo, only on the pitching side, now you've got something going. I don't think it's outrageous to put the Cubs at two because I think they have better depth with the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, the strength of the Cardinals pitching staff is probably their bullpen more so than their starting rotation. And then it's vice versa with the Brewers, even though the Brewers bullpen in recent years has been pretty good. But obviously the starting rotation has now, you know, emerged as the talking point with Burns, Woodruff, Peralta, Aaron Ashby, whatever. But yeah, I would agree because in terms of the Cubs being above the Cardinals. So congratulations, our rankings and Dell Metrics match again. I can't even Dell Metrics can't put the Cubs number one on this. It will be the one thing that the Cubs aren't number one on in terms of Dell Metrics. Big of me to not be so biased. I mean, Christ, all these people yelling at me about how biased I am. But yeah, the Cubs, I think as far as depth in terms of the starting rotation depth and even the bullpen depth that we were just talking about and guys that have high ceilings outweigh the Cardinals just because, I mean, Wainwright's going to start the year on the IL.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I was listening to Derek Gould, I think is how the you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
He was on David Kaplan's podcast today or yesterday, whenever they record it. And he said that Wainwright could be out 3 to 4 weeks. So I think that's a big loss, even though he's like 41. But for the rotation that they have, I think it's a big loss. Michaelis is probably their best starter. And Flaherty has the ceiling to be the best, be up there as the type of a Corbin Burns or Brandon Woodruff, but he can't stay on the field. At least in recent years, he hasn't proved it and hasn't had a great spring. And Cardinals fans hate him because he's very outspoken about his political beliefs and you just hate to see it. So yeah, give me the Cubs over the Cardinals. And this is not even like a question in my opinion. Now the Brewers are the number one, whatever, but it might not be number one after the deadline. Like I keep saying,
Dell Metrics projections dips projections.
Final say to Mr. Herrera.
I think Brewers are very clearly number one. I think a lot of that has to do with their top of their rotation, actually just their whole rotation as a whole. The bullpen is taking a little bit of a hit, but it's still pretty good. So the Brewers just that's what's going to carry them this season is going to be their pitching staff. But we've talked about that. Cubs and Cardinals are pretty close, man. I mean, yeah, the Cubs feel like they have a little bit more depth, but you know, the Cardinals have Miles Michaelis, who was an all-star last year. Yeah, Flaherty is a big if, but he's pitched at a Cy Young level before. I mean, the Cubs only have in the rotation one ever all-star, and that's Stroman, and that was 6 years ago, going on 6 years ago now. So like, they don't have a whole lot of top end starters themselves. They have good starters, but not like those top end guys that are competing for an all-star bid this year. I think the Cardinals bullpen might be better. Not like stand out, like head over, you know, just way, way better than the Cubs bullpen, but they have, I don't know. It's tough. I think I could see where you guys would put the Cubs at two. I think the Cubs could be at three. Like it's those two are really close. But yeah, the Brewers pretty easily number one.
We didn't even mention Devin Williams. I mean, he's arguably one of the best relievers in baseball.
He was the reliever of the year. Josh Hader was still the closer.
Yeah.
In like 2020 or 21, whatever year it was.
The pitching, the Brewers' success will definitely lie on their pitching, and I just don't know if they have enough offense, and that's why I have faith in the Cubs this year, at least being better than them. But yeah, their pitching, it's great. Like I've never said it's not.
And can the Cardinals' pitching stay healthy? Wainwright's old, Flaherty's never healthy. They think they've fixed Wilson's pitch framing, by the way. He's been working on that. And Wilson says he's going to win a gold glove. So if you believe all those things, then you believe the Cardinals will have better pitching than the Cubs this year. I don't buy that. I think the Cubs will have better pitching than the Cardinals this season. Whether or not they can catch them in the division, that remains to be seen because they have Arenado and they have Goldschmidt and they have some other players that are pretty good. But pitching,
they might have the best lineup. Cubs have
closed the gap.
Yeah, it's definitely possible they're number two. Like again, that's what I'm saying is they're close, but it's definitely possible the Cubs stand out this year. They have the kind of depth to do that.
You know? If the Cardinals don't win the Central, which they're the clear favorites, no matter what anyone says, They're the clear favorites to win the Central. If they don't win, it's because their pitching did not go the way that they had hoped. I mean, you could say that about a lot of teams, but with the lineup that they have, like it's I think their lineup is World Series like, as much as Del Metrics disagrees with it. So, I've been down on the Cardinals pitching all offseason. This was the offseason where they should have gone all in, got a guy like DeGrom just because you could have got him on a short deal. I mean, I know he's got injury history and they already got a guy like Flaherty or whatever that has injury history, whatever. I don't know what they should have done. All I know is that they should have went and got a number one. And if they did, then I would not be as high on the Cubs as I am. So their pitching is going to be the reason that they don't win the division if they don't win the division.
I just got a final thing. I just got a screen grab of the chat. Michael Collada's name, 3 o'clock. With the M in the corner, Cubs plus Del Metrics equals World Series. Print the shirt right now. Get it on the market. Get it ready for opening day. And we'll be back, by the way, tomorrow, 1:20, season preview show. Corey's going to join us. Ryan, we're not sure because there's going to be a workout at Wrigley Field. So it'll be a little tricky. We'll see how Ryan works it out. But don't forget, Country Club, 3462 Clark on opening day, 11 to 12. Go to allchgo.com right now. RSVP, it's free. The RSVP gets you in. You get discounts on food and drinks. We're going to have merch giveaways, and we're going to have a good time and a live show there to get the season rolling. Country Club, 11 o'clock, opening day. Be there. Until 1:20 tomorrow, we do the big season preview. Oh, wow. Get ready. We will see you on Wednesday. I forget what day it is. Until then, it's too late. Can't do these at 2 o'clock. Fly the W. Yeah.